Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast. This is a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. Impact Power Sports. They're online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Perhaps you need a Yamaha golf cart. Those are awesome. You can trick them out. You can have them decorated. Do they say decorated? Outfitted. Tricked out with anything you want. Not to mention any type of power sports equipment. Side-by-side, ATV, motorcycle, scooter, e-bike, go-kart. They have it all. At Impact Power Sports. Online at impactpowersportsmi.com. We are doing a Big Fraud Wednesday tomorrow. I reached out to Ben Glaze. I go, big fella, what day works best for you? Wednesday or Thursday? He said Wednesday. I go, that's fine. Okay. So Wednesday we will podcast our evening shows 6 p.m. with episode number 65 of Who Are These Free Beers, followed up by the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. I've gotten to work on my Who Are These Free Beers show. I parked on a number of things. In fact, I'll feature something right now to kind of get us warmed up for tomorrow's Who Are These Free Beers. A lot of awkward here in this particular clip that I'm talking about. Free Bear is setting up like an audio clip to play. And I guess there was a video that was making the rounds of a small dog chasing a bear that had wandered into the house. And the dog like ran up to the bear and the bear ran away. And so that video was making the rounds, and so Free Bear is setting up the clip. And I don't know what was going on here, but this sounded pretty awkward and clumsy when he was setting up the clip. Check it out.
This family's house was being threatened by a bear. Now, if you have a dog and your dog goes after the bear, you hope the dog scares off the bear, but you'd be very worried for your dog.
Yes, definitely.
Like if you had a lab or a retriever or a German Shepherd or whatever, big dog. But what about a 6-pound Pomeranian? Who you like in that fight? There's a lot of dog in that fight. Here's the story.
I was surprised.
Oh. Okay, let's take a deeper dive. I'm jumping right into the middle of the clip. Something was really wrong with that. I don't know if you noticed.
Whatever, big dog. But what about a 6-pound Pomeranian? Who you like in that fight? There's a lot of dog in that fight. Here's the story.
I was surprised.
That's unedited. That's I don't know why. The only thing I can think of is, I mean, it was all clumsy. But when he was setting it up, there's a couple of long pauses. First this.
But what about a six-pound Pomeranian? Who you like in that fight?
No one responds, and then he drops this.
There's a lot of dog in that fight.
That is an idiom that has never happened. What he's trying to say there is there's a lot of fight in that dog, but no one says there's a lot of dog in that fight.
There's a lot of dog in that fight.
So he fucked that up. There's a lot of dog in that fight. Now, I don't know. Maybe he's combining, yeah, you have a dog in the fight. Like, hey, yeah, you're involved. You've got a dog in that fight. But no one ever says, you got a dog in that fight, the way he just said it. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of dog in that fight.
But you can say there's a lot of fight in that dog, which he does not because he's a fucking moron. And then it's met with silence. Very awkward, telling, palpable silence.
But what about a six-pound Pomeranian? Who you like in that fight? There's a lot of dog in that fight. Here's the story.
I was surprised.
Ben points out nobody says a word. Bob says, did he mean to say a lot of fight in that dog? Yeah, I guess. Perhaps. It's fucked up either way. Ben says, I bet everyone is looking down and barely paying attention. I think I need to go ahead and pull the actual video clip of that just to get, because that might be part of Freebeer's complaints of, hey, I'm alone here. No one is contributing. And I mean, I don't know, maybe not. But so that was fucking ugly. I cannot wait to discuss that with Ben Glaze. I'm anxious to see what's happening in the video there. Getting a couple of complaints. David says, is it me or is Twitch all messed up today? Alan says it's a little choppy for him too. And Black Belt Nick says it is also a little choppy. Okay, so if that keeps up, I'll just restart it at some point. Wednesday, Big Fraud Wednesday. If you want in, you can get it at patreon.com/Eric Zane. Sign up for 7 days free. I just had another money pit expense come flying in out of left field. I know that this is going to make Nick the electrician laugh because he's said to me, easy, fill that pool in your backyard full of sand. Get rid of that money pit. And there's no fucking way I can do that. Pooh Bear has her old lady girlfriend parties in the backyard, and in the neighborhood kids use the pool. So I'm stuck with the pool. Mr. Pop Pop needs the kids in the pool, as you know. So the other day I went back there and there's like a pump and it was dead. I was like, fuck, I just put this thing in like 5 years ago. Maybe not even that much. So I called up Jeremy out the door over at Jenison Pool and Spa Depot. And I go, yeah, buddy, this thing's... And he goes, yeah, you know, after 1 year, I mean, that's the warranty. They can die on you. And I'm like, holy shit. So he goes, yeah, I'll come out and put a new one. I go, all right, no problem. So he puts that thing in. And I don't know if this is tariff related, but I don't remember it being this expensive because I look at the bill and I just scan it and I go, oh, all right, $300, no big deal. Then I look a little closer. I go, oh, no. That is not accurate. It's $1,050. And I'm like, what? Oh, my God. I don't remember it being that high. I think that it might have come I mean, everything is tariff-induced these days. And the reason why that is because all of you idiots voted for Trump and you're excited by the prospect of paying more for your shit. So because of that, my filter pump is through the fucking roof. Nick says you should have accidentally backed the RV into the pool. Two birds, one stone. Thanks. What a disaster. All right, so that pissed me off. I don't know about you, but whenever something like that, like you get, whenever there's anything that is a disturbance in the force, I used to kind of like let it ruin my day, and that kind of ruined my day. But at the same time, I've developed this fail-safe method, and that is don't do anything. Just sit tight. Don't react. Don't say a word. Don't talk to anybody about it. Just pretend it didn't happen and wait. And by the time you go to bed and you wake up the next day, it's processable. Don't know how. Don't know why. But if anything gets fucked up, there is nothing that a good night's sleep won't remedy. I noticed that at the end of the day, my brain is trying to trick me that my whole life is fucked up and everything is terrible. And I honestly think that it's just because I'm tired. The day is long. As soon as the day gets long, I should never make any decisions at the end of the day because my brain is so muddied up and cluttered with nonsense. And everything's trying to fuck me up. Everything in my brain is trying to convince me that the world is going to end. So then I go, all right, well, I'll just sit here, watch YouTube videos, old clips of Breaking Bad, and then go to bed. And then that's the end of it. And then I wake up and I'm like, what happened? What was I worried about? Huh? What an asshole. What a dumb dick. Like any of that is important. Like I almost lost sleep over the fact that when I turn on the hose, water drips out of the handle. Okay. And it's like getting the wall wet and it's destroyed the wall. So it's all got to be replaced. And it's been that way. I've lived here for 15 years and it's been that way for 15 years. But for some reason now it's a problem. And the only reason why it was a problem is because I saw it at like 7:30 at night. And I'm like, whoa, oh my God. This is terrible. Oh, this is so bad. And that's what's happening in my brain. But I'm just sitting there looking. I go, all right, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Go to bed. I try to talk to Hurricane Madison about that. And Nick says, tighten the stupid nut on the handle and it stops. I'm working on it. I can't rush into anything, goddammit. It's all rusted. It won't move. It's not my fault. I'm not mechanically inclined like you. You've got your fucking act together. Man Bun Chris says Madison would give the opposite advice. You're exactly right. Like when she was having the meltdown the other day, that was a level 2, category 2, Hurricane Madison making landfall, Hurricane Maddie. She kind of smiled when I said, all right, because she was coming out of it, you know? And I go, all right, this was only a category 2. She goes, what are you talking about? I go, well, you know, this is a category 2 storm. This is a category 2 Hurricane Maddie. We've been through the 5s. You know, no big deal. A 2 is, we can handle a 2. All right. So, yeah, I get pissed off, go to bed, wake up, the world is better. Last night, we wrapped up the Heroin Diaries and on the Big Fraud Book Club on Patreon. And we had a lot of great conversation about this book. We went about 40 minutes. I just published the audio for those of you that are audio only on Patreon. And we all agreed that this is a book worthy of your time. So if you want to read The Heroin Diaries by Nikki Sixx, We all had a excellent experience. It was a worthy introduction to book club. Some of you are in book club and you're reading the books and you don't want to participate in the Zoom, and that is totally cool. Maybe you just like the conversation about the book that we're reading when it's all said and done. And that's outstanding. We had about 6, 7, 8 people that were in there yesterday discussing the book. Murder lover Linda has this shit internet, and she's trying to make good points, and it was all choppy. And it's like, come on, what the hell? Molly says the books that you all pick are too long for me to comprehend. I don't know. I thought that the Heroin Diaries was a pretty average length. I don't think that the length of the books is the problem. If we're having trouble comprehending it, it would be the actual what is being discussed inside of the book. And this was definitely far from rocket science. It was Nikki Six talking about the copious amounts of heroin that he's doing and all of the ridiculous scenarios that his heroin use got him involved in, and the trouble that it got him and Motley Crue involved in. It was not exactly like War and Peace or anything like that. By the way, I wonder if anybody in book club is going to say that that we have to read the Bible. There is no way in hell that I would read the Bible. I have tried to read the Bible like 2 or 3 times, maybe even more than that. And I don't want to say anything. I mean, I'm not intentionally trying to stick my finger in the eye of those of you who read the good book or have read the good book, but it is it's really a drag. It's not a page turner. The only time, there was a time when I used to get up for work at the radio station, and this is when I was like super Catholic, and I would sit down and there would be the day's readings. It's a true story. Fucking 4 in the morning, I'm there with my Bible, and it says, all right, these are the day's readings. And I guess if you follow a certain track, you can read like the whole Bible in like 2.5 years or something like that. Just by, and the Catholics put out the day's readings to read. And so I would sit down and I'd read them. And so I would read the good book, and it was all full of outstanding things to live your life by. And then I would close that book and I'd go, man, let's get out and attack the day. And then I would, half an hour later, I would be calling people fat on the radio. And that was crazy. I'm like, how the hell? I mean, you can't do both, right? Or can you? Can you read the Bible and say, man, I love all this. This is great. I love my fellow man. I can't wait to get out and have a great day loving my fellow man. And then start talking on the radio about how ugly someone is. I think that's worse. That's like the worst type of thing you can possibly do, right? And I remember that I used to hang out with this dude. We used to go running. I don't want to say his name, but at one point he goes, so I've listened to you. And like, we'd be talking religion. This is like, we go for runs and have these long drawn out talks while we're running. And he's like, how do you come up with this? Because I mean, how do you balance this? The equation is practicing Catholic. Tell people to go fuck themselves all day long. How the hell is that? How do you, rectify this in your brain? I'm like, well, yeah, and I'm making up all these excuses. But yeah, I don't think I can. I don't think that that's anything you can do. So now I have fully committed is to tell everybody to go fuck themselves. So all telling people to go fuck themselves and no religious studies whatsoever. And see how that goes. And I can honestly say that this is better. This is 1 million times more fun now. This is the way to go. So if you want to have a successful, fun, energetic, carefree life, tell everybody to fuck off and no religious therapy whatsoever. I think that's the formula for winning. Now, you know somebody's going to take me serious about that. You know that that's going to be there's someone who's going to be mortified with all of these comments. Man Bun Chris says, check out what my Catholic college teacher told me, Mom. Yeah, this is all a case study of how to lose a job. There is if the wrong people watch this podcast affiliated with the college that I'll be teaching at, I'm dead. There is no way in hell that this is going to work. Hey, stand by because I hear Darla in the other room. And she's whining, so I'm going to go get her. Okay, so stand by. I'll be right back, you know? She locked herself in the bathroom. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. That would be something. I think that would be the one for the ages. If I actually... Because I don't think that that is part of the equation. If you are an instructor at that school, even like in... an adjunct professor like myself. I mean, can you imagine if they're like, yes, you are just too much of an asshole to keep this job. You are too much of a dickhead on your podcast to be employed here. I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah, I talk a lot of shit, but I've never put my ding dong in a child. I've been married for 33 years. I've raised three great kids. I've never, outside of the scavenger hunt, I've never been to jail. What the hell? And I'm not gay. Well, I'm 8% gay, but I'm not putting my ding dong in dudes, which I know you guys are against. So I think that there might be some problem though. With just my general overall, you know, demeanor. I hope not, though, because I really want to do it. You know, I'm looking forward to teaching the class as preparations continue for Eric Zane's podcast class at the Catholic College.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right. Chris says, as a Christian, I say... that is rule number one, no Bible, no devotionals. Which, by the way, I believe in baby Jesus, of course. I'm just not a practicing Catholic. Rebecca says, nope, no Bible. Nick says, yeah, I'm not reading that either. Chris says, I have a couple that are long and probably won't pick them for that reason also. Jeremy says, I can't wait for that rant to show up on segment 18. Maureen says, surely the real professor checked out this podcast before she hired you. Yes. I don't know. Not my job. At the end of the day, there is no one that can deliver the expertise that I will deliver. It's a class on radio and podcasting. These are two things that I could talk for hours about. Despite years of experience, I find myself nervous about it. Murder lover Linda is here. She says, you told me you'd put it in Annabelle the doll, though. So Linda, had a little bit of background here. She has been texting me, and she talked about it when we were on the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, about that Raggedy Ann doll Annabelle. How it's, she says it's possessed, and who was the comedian? Was it, I forgot which comedian, was it Matt Rife? Who I guess bought the house that the damn doll is in. Out of the blue, she writes, Ed Warren tells the real story of Annabelle. Must watch. She says, the story starts at about 16 minutes, 20 seconds, about a 10-minute story. You'll want to scratch your eyes out because he talks slow and takes forever, but it's interesting. Just put it on while you're doing something else. She writes that in all caps. And it was so fucking bad. This clearly, Ed Warren simply has concocted a way to try to make money for stupid people who believe that the goddamn doll is possessed. There's a whole movie franchise based on this. Follow the money, Linda. If you want to convince Linda that a doll is possessed, all you need to do is tell Linda that a doll is possessed, and she will believe that the doll is actually possessed. It's a huge embarrassment. I didn't even make it through. And I go, look, I'm now dumber from having listened to Ed Warren. I can't get back the 10 minutes of my life. I take back the happy birthday wishes that I sent you. And then I said, the story of Freddy Krueger is more believable, you dipshit. She said that doll is going to get you. I said, if I had that doll in front of me, I would cut a hole in its crotch and put my ding dong in it. And God, this is so stupid. Linda says he's dead. He made no money from the movies. Sure, sure, sure. Whatever you say. Maureen said that Matt Rife is going to die. That's the dude. Comic, I guess. All right, if you say so. All right, so Big Fraud Wednesday. Big Fraud Book Club was yesterday. Podcast School. Pool Filter. Those things. I wrote those down as notes. Things that I have to talk about. I'm going to be upfront with you. There's a fairly good chance that this show is lean. Tell me if I'm in the wrong here. I go for a walk, and all the kids in my neighborhood, by the way, they tend to be outside in the summer. We have I don't know what it is, but it seems like the parents are like, yeah, get outside and play. And that's good, you know? Like, in the cul-de-sac, they took sidewalk chalk and during the whole cul-de-sac, which is fresh asphalt, and they made their own racetrack, and they're all on bikes and scooters, and they're running, and they're actually doing physical shit, all these kids. So now my goal is to get them all in the pool, like you guys have suggested. Okay, but they're all playing, and you know, half of them got road rash because they're falling off, and then they get in a fight, and then it's just incredible how active these kids are. And then they get done with that, and then they play baseball, and they play football, and there's Pop taking the dogs for a walk. Hey, how you doing, kids? And I'm like the old man of the neighborhood. And then they're playing golf. Now, this has happened from time to time, and us neighbors, we look out for each other. When the kids play golf, you know, they rip up everybody's lawn. So they have these plastic balls. They're not like real golf balls. They're the ones you can use for practice. And now they're playing golf, and they go from, you know, neighbor's house to neighbor's house. And So I'm walking the dogs, and I see him go, hey, hey, hey. And they're like, uh-oh. I go, if you rip up anybody's lawn, make sure you replace your divots. And actually, the first thing I said was, I go, hey, Mr. Scott, I don't know if Mr. Scott is going to want you playing golf on his lawn. Scott, none of these kids are Mr. Scott's kids. But yeah, they're on his lawn. They're going to hit the golf ball on someone else's property and then go. It fucks everything up. So I go, hey, I don't know if Mr. Scott's going to appreciate that, guys. And they look at me and don't speak and continue to shoot golf balls off Mr. Scott's. So I'm like, oh, okay. That's the equivalent of just giving me the finger. Sure enough, kid shoots in this huge, it looks like a bass jumping out of the water. This big swath of lawn comes flying off the club face. Just lands, and go, oh, wow, yeah, look at that. Ball goes flying, and then they pick up their clubs, and they go running. I go, hang on! Kid looks at me, I go, do me a favor, big fella. Pick up that clump of grass right now. And he goes and he picks it up. I go, put it where you shot and step on it. And he does it. Turns around, walks away. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? So if they do that to my property, it's going to be a problem. How do parents not know that that's happening? I mean, how are you not aware that your kids are playing golf on everybody's property? Golf! Terrible interaction. Alan with a horrible comment. He says, so when they tear up your grass, are they fair game to molest? Yeah, I'm not. That's ridiculous. Stevie says the house next to ours seems to be the cool house to hang out if you're under 12. They have a trampoline in the backyard. I hate them all. You would hate it here with all these kids. Cole with this advice. You need to beat the shit out of one of them in front of the others so they know you're not messing around. That's like in prison, you know. You have that that hierarchy. You go for the big one, you take them out, and then they won't screw with you. Rebecca says the lack of self-awareness in kids is what irritates the shit out of me. Molly with a great point. You were all kids at one point, WTF. Correct. Correct. You're right. We were all kids. And we got the shit beat out of us at one point. I'll never forget the McDermott household. They were fed up with people on Devil's Night doing damage to the house. Because back where I grew up in Detroit, Devil's Night was big. You know, you like see your neighbor. Hey, how you doing, Mr. McDermott? Good to see you. I'm fine, Eric. All right, see you later. Hour later, I'm throwing eggs at his house. Fair game. But he went ahead and got a few metal rakes. You know, not like a rake that you can just rake up the leaves with, but one you can actually move dirt, which has those metal spikes, those tines. And he threw them on the front lawn with the tines up. And my brother and Mr. McDermott's son, John, are wandering through the neighborhood, toilet paper in the trees, eggs. We would raid other people's gardens and get their rotting vegetables and throw those. When I finally left Metro Detroit, nowhere else is this a thing. And I'm like, what the hell? This is more fun than Halloween. And they're like, no, we don't do that here. I go, that's ridiculous. Becca Shea says Devil's Night was like the purge. This is true. So anyway, my brother Jim and John McDermott are destroying people's shit, and they run across McDermott's property. Mr. McDermott's left those goddamn rakes there, and John steps on one and it goes through his fucking foot, like full impact running through the yard, you know, whatever, after destroying someone's property, steps on the rake. The tines of the rake go through the bottom of his shoe, through the bottom of his foot, out the top of his foot, out the shoe. He falls. Now he's got a rake attached to his foot. He's screaming bloody murder. My brother Jim says, "See you later," and fucking books it across the street, comes running. He goes, "Mom, John got a goddamn rake through his foot." She's like, "What? Where?" "On his front yard." And she's like, "Ah, well, okay. Well, he's not far from help. That's the last we ever heard about it." How did I get on that topic? Oh, because the neighborhood kids are golfing. And Pop is kicking ass. So, all right, that happened. I don't know if the moms or dads are aware. I think they should be, you know. And then we had an incident last night. Pooh Bear comes in, and there's a sweet little girl we just love. And I guess we would just say developmentally disabled. And I'm not going to say any of the mean words that I normally say because I love these people dearly. But anyway, I'm sitting there in the driveway, and Pooh Bear comes in. She goes, "Yeah, I just saw so-and-so coming out of our backyard." And we got this gate that kind of latches, but not really. And it's, you have to have it when you have a pool. And the kid, I guess, was in the yard. I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Oh, my God, this is terrible." And so the kid now is gone. And I go, "We got to tell Mom." And so Mom happened to be in the front yard. And it was no big deal. Mom, I mean, we talk to these people all the time. They're great. And it was taken care of. But I said to Pooh Bear, I go, because she actually saw it. And I go, "Well, I'll go over there." And I go, "Well, wait a minute. You saw it, Pooh Bear. So why don't you run over there and talk to Mom?" And she goes, "I'll just text her." And I'm like, "Why? What? What the fuck? What is the big deal? Just go over there and talk." And I'm at the, she had gone to the grocery store. I go, I'll put the groceries in. You take care of it. She goes, "Okay, I'll text." She goes in the house, comes out, and Mom is still out there. I go, did you text her? "It just happened." "No." "I'll go over there." I'm like, "What?" Goes over there, takes care of it. So kid issues in the neighborhood. They're cool. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. I've made a point when I'm doing this rant to try not to be an asshole. I mean, outside of watching kids destroy lawns with golf clubs and me saying, "Hey, put that divot back." I don't think I'm in trouble for anything. I sometimes worry about that on the podcast. But I don't think that replacing the divot does enough to fix it. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to look okay. It might look like shit. It might not take, you know. I don't think kids should be playing golf on the neighbor's property. You know, I think that that's something that Mr. Pop, you know, if somebody has a problem with me bitching about the kids playing golf in the neighborhood, I'm going to be like, "Well, look, man, the kids should not be swinging golf clubs like, I can't even think of a golfer. Rory McIlroy. Or who's that dude that just won the Open Championship? Scotty Stifler? What the fuck is that guy's name? Isn't it Stifler? Stafford? Yeah, go to the golf course. Take your kid to the golf course." Nick the Black Belt says, "I used to be Stevie level with kids. My son's really changed that in me a lot. I've become more patient and friendly with all kids." Scotty Scheffler, that's his name. And And they'll do that, by the way. Kids are great. They actually make you see the world from a different perspective. I recommend everybody have kids. If I didn't have kids, I would have had a hell of a lot less to talk about on the podcast. So that's why it's been so fantastic for me. Becca Shea says you would probably be dead if you didn't have kids. Probably. Cole says I should have made the kid eat that divot. David says you're not in the wrong this time. Molly says this is crazy. People bitch about kids being on video games, but when they go outside and play, they get bitched at. You want them silent and in the closet. Well, I didn't say that. I said that the neighborhood was great because the kids are outside. I don't know how you made that assumption, Ms. Molly. I simply said I don't like the fact that they're ripping people's lawns up. That's all I'm saying. Are you the type of person that hears one thing and then fills in your own blanks? And then like blurts it out like that, because it sure as hell seems like it. I didn't say anything to that effect. All right. Cole says golfing on someone else's lawn is not playing outside. Well, no, it is. All right. You're stupid too. It is playing outside. But if they do it, they got to do it in a place that they can. Not on some guy's front lawn. Do something else. Stevie says not run around screaming like banshees all afternoon and evening. I like screaming in the neighborhood. I don't have a problem with that. Stevie's kind of a witch. You got to let these kids burn off that energy. You got to let them have those relationships. You got to let them have fun. That's the fun shit that goes down. I 100% disagree with that. I want the kids outside, football, baseball, basketball, golf, as long as it's not on my neighbor's property or my property. Do it on your own damn property. No, I don't have a problem with any of that. I love activity in the neighborhood. Mr. Pop Pop loves that. We have a couple of events coming up. The Eric Zane Show podcast, Pinball Orgy number 2, is fast approaching. That is going to be on August 22nd at this place, Pinball Land. You're going to love Pinball Land. You go in there, you pay $9, and you play all the pinball, all the stand-up old-school video games that you can for $9. If you go 2 hours, normally it's $15. $20 get you an all-day pass. We will be there August 22nd. So the way this is going to work is on August 22nd, that's a Friday, we're going to head over to the Corner Bar in Rockford, Michigan at 7:30, Friday, August 22nd. We're going to eat, have something to drink. You will, I won't. And then we walk down the street just a couple of blocks to Pinball Land afterwards, and away we go. It'd be so much fun. Pay for an hour, pay for two, whatever you want. Jeremy says, I'm up to 95% sure that I'll be there now. That's awesome. Nick the Black Belt says, I hope so. Looking forward to meeting you. Molly says, easy. I'm sorry I was listening to you, but I hear my coworkers also. Okay, fine. That paintball orgy, again, August 22nd at Pinball Land. Something else that I have going on is September 6th, Paintball War number 25 at TC Paintball. RSVP to both of these events on my Facebook page, or if you are not into Facebook, send me an RSVP via email, eric@ericzaneshow.com, on the Shoreliners Striping inbox. Paintball War number 25, the September Slaughter, is a Saturday affair. Saturday, September 6th at 5 p.m. Join me there, and the rest of the crew will have a pizza party with BC Pizza to get it all started. Hang out, and then paintball fun. $35 gets you the paint, get you the mask, get you the gun, get you the field time. If you want more paint, you can buy it. I will see you at Paintball War number 25, the September Slaughter, with my friends at TC Paintball, Saturday, September 6th. Okay. I'm going to take a quick break and come back with more. Thank you so much again for being here. And stick around. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.